Mercy and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is our gospel lesson, and I read again these words. And his disciples came to him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil." This is our text. Jesus tells us in his word that we, his disciples, are the light of the world. We reflect his light into the world. And he tells us to let our light so shine that people will see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. That witness that we give to our Lord is such an important responsibility and a wonderful opportunity that God has given us to be a part of the work of his kingdom. We know that from Scripture. And of course, at its best, the Christian community does that. It is a beacon on a hill, pointing to the love and mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But our text today talks about another side of the coin. We live in a world of great confusion. Weeds have been sown in the midst of the wheat, and there is often not such a clear picture. The people of God do not always so clearly shine that wonderful truth of the gospel. I often think of how it speaks in Ephesians 5, where the church and its relationship to Christ is compared to the relationship of a man and his wife. And it says, "Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish." And so we think of that beautiful bride in that spotless white wedding garment. But of course, the church doesn't always appear that way. And sometimes the closer we get to the life of the church and the more involved we get in it, we may see all kinds of defects and blemishes. We thank God for his grace that makes us weak, sinful people, pure and righteous before him. But on the human level, we continue to be sinner saints, and that sinful side of our lives also shows itself in the life of our community. The church is not always so radiant and pure. Like merely human organizations, we see the church often divided by factions and blemished by so many manifestations of sin. Jesus' parable of the tares and the wheat help us understand this puzzling and difficult thing about the life of God's people in the world. The ongoing presence of evil, even while the kingdom of God is being built in our midst. In some ways, you could say this is kind of a depressing parable, and its picture it gives us of the world and of the church. But on the other hand, because it shows us the way things really are, and it teaches us to expect a confusing world where sincerity and goodness exist side by side with hypocrisy and evil, this parable prepares us for the reality of our life as Christians in the world. It teaches us how we should face these realities, how we should pray earnestly to the Lord for his help in the midst of all this conflict. And also, it gives us hope, teaches us to wait and work with confidence for the coming and final triumph of our Lord's kingdom. Meditating on this parable made me think of a Roman Catholic friend of mine, one of my best friends, really from high school, who recently told me that due to the clergy sex abuse scandal in the Catholic Church, his wife has stopped going to church altogether. And they were so united in that. And remember all the things that they were involved in, and how that was part of what drew them together as a couple. So my friend attends Mass all by himself. I feel badly for my friend, since his wife no longer goes to church with him, but I feel even more badly for her, because it appears that in some way she maybe is losing or has lost her faith altogether. I only hope and pray that rather than trusting in human leaders or institutions, she would put her full faith and confidence in Jesus as her Savior. our crucified and risen Lord. Jesus teaches us clearly in this parable that evil is at work in the world, even in the midst of the believing community. We should never let scandals, even in the Christian church, cause us to stop turning to God or trusting in Him, because He has told us clearly that the devil is at work, sowing wheat in the Lord's field. So we shouldn't be surprised at the confusion that we see in the world, and even in the church itself. Of course, we will be disappointed and sometimes shaken when we see people contradicting our Lord's teaching in their behavior. But we really shouldn't be surprised. I recently saw that the Gallup poll says that the number of people in America who believe in the devil and hell has declined to its lowest point in 20 years of polling. And still, a substantial number of Americans believe in hell and the devil, 59 and 58%, according to the poll. But I find it in a way surprising that anyone who knows history or even reads the newspaper should doubt the existence of the devil. Scripture tells us that the potential for radical human evil is a result of the devil's power in the world. And it also, of course, teaches us that we ourselves are born in original sin, that there is a deep corruption in our human nature, and that even in those who truly believe in Jesus, sin still rears its ugly head. So for that reason, we are to trust in the Lord and not in human beings who will surely disappoint us. Yet, when people who call themselves Christian don't live and behave as Christians ought to, this can cause us to stumble. One of the most frequent causes of people leaving the church is quarrels or hurt feelings between church members. And one of the most common excuses people give for not participating in the life of a Christian congregation is the claim, there are too many hypocrites in the church. To which I am tempted to respond, there's always room for one more. And when you think about it, hypocrisy is a part of our sinful condition, isn't it? You think of Adam and Eve. What is the first thing they do? They run and hide. They put the fig leaves on themselves, try to cover themselves up, pretend that things haven't happened the way they have, pretend to be something that they are not. And because we are sinners, there's always a part of our life that we would rather other people don't see. So the only cure to our sinful condition of hypocrisy is to confess our sins and live in daily repentance. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in us, and that's why we come together. So never keep away from the church because of the hypocrites. Come in and join them. Nevertheless, it is understandable when someone who has been deeply hurt by the behavior of someone who claims to be a Christian and a brother or sister in Christ may face a difficult trial, might be tempted to leave a congregation and go elsewhere, or worse yet, to stop gathering with other believers altogether. Jesus, though, teaches us in this parable that we should not be surprised by these kinds of things. In no way should they shake our faith in Him or in His Word or in His work in the life of His people. The weeds from the bad seed are intertwined with the stalks of grain. So we should not be looking for an absolutely pure church which has no sinful or fallible people. None of us would belong in such a church. And no such church exists in the entire world. God's great work, His work that is so beautiful, is that the church is a community of sinner saints who walk together. They follow that path of our Lord Jesus Christ, carrying their crosses and made pure by His blood. And though they continue to struggle against the devil, the world, and their sinful flesh, they do that together. They support one another. They pray for one another. The crux of the parable in some ways is found in the conversation between the master and his servants. The servants say, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How does it have weeds?" And he says, "An enemy has done this." And so the servants say, "Do you want us to go and gather the weeds?" And the master Jesus responds, "No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them." There's a word of caution there from our Lord. Sometimes we engage in premature judgment and to try in our attempt to sort of separate out the true children of God from those who may not be. And if we try to do that, we may end up falsely judging and condemning true children of God. Our quest for purity and clarity could end up hurting or damaging the people of God, uprooting weak believers from their place in the community of God's people, because we think that we're sure that we can make the distinction between those who truly belong to Christ and those who do not. It isn't that easy. God is the only true judge of the heart of another, and only He can make the ultimate determination between those who believe and trust in Him and those who do not. One of the things that we have all observed that has been afflicting our society and the church in recent years has been this growing polarization in politics, but it also comes into the life of the church. You can see it. Just get on the internet, do some looking at Facebook, see the things that people are talking about. In some cases, in our mind's eye, those that we disagree with are ungodly and perhaps in league with the forces of evil. And then we may see those we agree with as being on the right side, the godly side. But Jesus tells us in this parable that the task of judging such things is beyond us. There is too much confusion in this world for us to sort things out so neatly. We are not called as Christians to be judges, but rather to let our Lord sort out things as He will on the last day at the end of history. St. Paul put it this way in the book of Corinthians: "Do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart." Jesus is clear in the parable. He will sort out everything on the last day. So we should be patient and not think that we can, by our efforts, create a pure community or rectify every error. Rather, we are to view everyone through the light of the cross. I think of John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Not only does that give us faith and confidence in the love of God, but it should also color the way we view everyone else. Jesus tells us to love our neighbors as ourselves, to love one another as He has loved us, and even to love our enemies. If we are quick to judge someone as a weed in the Lord's field, we may very well be wrong and cause harm to our brothers and sisters in Christ. The purity of our community does not come from our intolerance of evil. It comes from the grace and forgiveness of our Lord. What appears to be the weed of evil may in fact be an erring, weak child of God. Or maybe we're the ones who are wrong and they're not. Maybe we are the erring ones. God is at work through His Word, and He calls us and all others to repentance and faith through the gospel. God is at work in our hearts and in the hearts of those around us, and we must patiently and lovingly wait and pray for His mercy in the lives of each of us. A judgmental or legalistic spirit does not build the kingdom of God, and it brings no blessing to those who are around us. So first, we must recognize that we ourselves are the prodigals who have spurned and forsaken our loving Father. And yet Jesus poured out His love and mercy upon us all and calls us to pray for God's forgiveness, even for our enemies, as well as for ourselves. So this parable not only guards us against a legalistic and judgmental spirit, it also gives us great comfort whenever we are disheartened by the sorry state of the world or of the church itself and all the confusion that we see. God, who is rich in mercy, will sort everything out in the end. And when he does, those who have trusted in him will be richly blessed. We will shine like the sun, the text says, because he has made us his own through the death of his son, Jesus. Though our world is a sorry mess, yet all things will be made right, and all things will work together for the good of those who trust in him. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all of our understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.